Okay, today's daf is Becharos daf Lamed Daled. Today's shir is sponsored by David Ham, an internet participant from Yerushalayim, in honor of his wife Margie, and by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on daf Lamed Gimel and Beis, and we are middle of a discussion over here, because the Mishnah had spoken about whether you're allowed to be whether you're allowed to do Hakazas Dam on a Bechar, even though it risks being Matil Mum on a Bechar. And the Gemara had said, oh, maybe this Machlokes relates to a different Machlokes about the requirement to protect Truma that might be Tameh. So the Gemara we were in the middle of the discussion where the Gemara rejects that comparison. And the Gemara was saying that no, each one is based on drushos from Psukim, and therefore you cannot link the two machlokas. So what we're going to first see today is we're going to show how the machlokas about being Mekes Dam on a Bechar is based on drushos from Psukim. Then we're going to explain exactly what the machlokas about guarding Truma that's a Safek Tameh is based on, which Psukim that might be a machlokas in, and then we'll move on. The Gemara will finally give a psak halacha about our issue of being Mekes Dam on a Bechar, and then the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Daled Amud Aleph is going to talk about the Knas for purposely being Matil Mum, that if a person takes his Bechar and is Matil Mum on purpose, in what way does he get penalized as far as the benefit that he can get from that animal? And the Gemara is going to show that there is a seemingly double stira between the Machlokas Reb Lezer and the Rabbanan. Both the Shita of Reb Lezer and the Shita of the Rabbanan seem to be bestira in terms of how strong the Knas is going to be between our case of being Matal Mum and Bechar and a different situation of a Knas of a person cutting off a Negat Sara'as, where also there seems to be a need for a Knas, and yet there's a double stira between Reb Lezer and the Rabbanan. We're going to resolve that stira. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if a person cuts off a nega, when does he become tahar? Does he become tahar as soon as a new nega develops and he becomes tahar from that? Or does he become tahar as soon as a new nega develops, period? Even if he has not yet become tahar from the new nega, when does he become tahar from the first nega? So that's going to be a shaila in the Gemara. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss, once we're talking about making a knas, whether kansu b'no acharav or not. In situations where someone does something wrong, and as a result of that, we make a knas on him, does the knas extend, it's over there, does it on the other side of Tisha B'Av, does the knas extend to b'no acharav, or does the knas not extend to b'no acharav? Does it say, if the person dies, the person who did the avera dies, does the knas extend to his child? So we left off, we're really right in the middle of something. Let's go back to V'hacha b'krayi pligi. That we said v'hacha b'krayi pligi, v'hacha b'krayi pligi. First word in the line is pligi. So we're explaining how both situations, both the machlokas about being mekes dam on a bechar, and the machlokas about guarding truma that might be tameh, are both based on psukim, and therefore they have nothing to do with each other. These two machlokos are unrelated to each other. Damrav chibravam Rabbi Yochanan hakol modim b'mechametz achar mechametz shu chayiv tichsev lo sefer chametz v'lo sasa, that everyone agrees that if you have a carbon that you're not allowed to make chametz, and a person is mechametz it further after it's already chametz, that he's going to be chayiv for that as well, even though you might argue, what do you mean? That's not called being mechametz. Chametz, it's already chametz. You can't be mechametz something that's already chametz. Now, even though the result is already achieved, to make it happen further, you're still going to be chayiv. And similarly, b'mesaris achar mesaris shu chayiv. D'chsiv umauch v'chasus v'natuk v'charus. That if a person is mesaris a behema, he's going to be chayiv even if the animal was already mesuras. It was already unable to have children as a result of some procedure that was done on it. Imal kareis chayiv al notik l'kolshkein. If you're going to be chayiv for being kareis, then of course you're going to be chayiv for being notek. Ela lahavi notek achar kareis uchayiv. No, this is telling me that if you're notek after you're already kareis, you're also going to be chayiv. So that's not a discussion. Ela lo nechluku ela b'matil mum b'bal mum. The whole machlokas is only in a situation where you're matil mum on an animal that's already a bal mum. So Rav Meir Savar kol mum lo yebo. Rav Meir says, well, the pasuk tells me kol mum lo yebo, and we assume that you're not allowed to be matil any mum, no matter what, even if already has a mum. For Rabbanan Sarri, tamim yel ratzon. No, the mitzvah is that it should be a tamim. Once it's already a bal mum, being matil a second mum doesn't do anything. It's already not a tamim. So Rameir, hay tamim yel ratzon mayavadai. What does Rameir do with the tamim yel ratzon? Mi bayle lemute bal mum meikaro. He uses tamim yel ratzon to tell me that if an animal is a bal mum meikaro, that it was always a bal mum, then, before you were ever makdish, it already had a mum, then there's not going to be an issur of being matil mum. But typically speaking, if the animal is only developed a mum after it became kadosh, then their taka is another issur of being matil another mum. Says, well, bal mum meikaro, pshita, dikla bialmahu. If an animal is a bal mum meikaro, then of course you're allowed to be matil mum in it. The whole kadusha is not a kadushas mizbeach, because it's like a dekel bialma, because if it had a mum at the time of the Hekdesh, then it was never destined for the Mizbeach anyway. So you don't need a Pasuk to tell me that. So what does Reb Meir actually do with the Pasuk of Tamim Yiel Ratzon? Elamute Psulei HaMukdashin La'achar Pidyonan. To exclude Psulei HaMukdashin after the Pidyon from the Isra Fatalas Mum. Salka Dayta Chamina Hol Vasiri B'Gizav Avoda B'Mum Nami Litzru. I might have thought, well, they still retain some remnant of Kedusha, because after all, you're not allowed to do Giza Va'avoda on them, and therefore you might not be allowed to be Matil Mum on them either. Kamashmalan. That's why the Pasuk says Tamiel Ratzon, that you are allowed to be Matil Mum on Psulei HaMukdashin La'achar Pidyonan. So Rabbanan Nami Oksiv Kol Mum Lo Yebo. Okay, but what did the Rabbanan do with Rameir's Pasuk? Rameir learned from Kol Mum Lo Yebo that even if you're Matil Mum on an animal that's already a Bal Mum, that's also Aser, it's still an Aser to be Matil another Mum. The Rabbanan disagreed. So what did they learn from the Pasuk of Kol Mum Lo Yebo? L'gramahu da'asi. They learned from Kol Mum Lo Yebo that not only is there an Iser to be Matil Mum directly, there's even an Iser to be Goreim a Mum on an animal. D'tanya Mum Lo Yebo Ein Li Ella Shalo Yitein Bo Mum. I would only know from Mum Lo Yebo without the word Kol that you're not allowed to actually make a Mum on the animal. Minayin Shalo Yavi Dvelu Batzek Mianichen Ala Ozen Kedesh Yavo Kelev Yecholena. How do I know that you're not allowed to take a little bit of dog food and stick it on the animal's ear and then then unleash a dog nearby the animal so the dog will go and will bite the food off of the animal's ear and bite part of the animal's ear off with it and make it a mum? So you didn't do anything, the dog did it. Yeah, but you caused it to happen. You set the process in motion where you arranged for the mum to happen. How do I know that that's us as well? Tam lomar kol mum. Echad mum ve'echad kol mum. So you see that it's that from the word kol mum, that it's usher even to be goreim hatalas mum by kachin. Min chaschinuch writes in mitzvah resh pei zayin os yud, what if you send a shliach to be matal mum? Is that also included in being goreim a mum? So he says, if it's Yisrael that's a bar das, saying shliach l'dvar avera, meaning you send your Jewish bar das friend to be matal mum b'kachim, so obviously the shliach is the one that's chayiv, the mishaleach is potter. It's not even called that you're goreim, because he should have made the decision not to listen to you. Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomen. He shouldn't have listened to you. He should have listened to the Ribono Shel Olam. And if the Shliach is a guy, even though there's no Shlichus for a guy, but since he's a Bardas, even that's not called Grama, says the Minchas Chinuch. But if the Shliach is a Cherushot V'Katan, who doesn't have Das, he says then it would be called Grama, meaning that would be the same as arranging for the dog to bite off the animal's ear. So that's the Shita of Minchas Chinuch. However, in the Sefer Nesivos HaKodesh, Maseches Menachos, he raises a suffix that maybe, even though in Kala Tarukula, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, but since over here there's a special Riboy in the Pasuk that says that not only are you in violation if you do it, you're even in violation if you're Goreim, if it's only a Grama, so because, and why? Probably because there's a Siyag Da'araisa, that we're afraid that if you're Goreim, then you might come to do it yourself. So it could be that by sending a shliach, it is at least considered a grama. So that is a discussion that the Achronim have, whether that's considered a grama or not. But it is an interesting idea that the Gemara is discussing over here. Being makes dam on an animal where you might be matil mum in it, so what's the whole issue? Is that it's already bal mum. It's got all this extra dam, so it's got this illness anyway, so you might might be being matil mum on that which is already a bal mum, and that's a machlokas tanaim, whether that's even usher to do in the first place. So we started bringing other areas in halacha where it seems like the iser is a result-oriented iser, and the result is already there, so can you do it again? Meaning you have the case of mesares. It's already mesuras. Is there a separate iser to be mesares even further? So in all these cases, but there are certain cases the Gemara does not discuss. The Gemara learns about mechametz achar mechametz, mesares achar mesares. So the Minchas Chinuch has a diyun in mitzvah Tav Lamed Zayin. Do we learn from here to other isurim that are similar, that there would be a chiyuv if you do a maisa where the totsa'a already exists, but you do a further maisa? There is a machlokas achronim. Do we say yesh bishul achar bishul bibasar b'chalav? We know in Hilchas Shabbos that bishul d'araisa is only when the food was raw beforehand, but if the food is already cooked, so ein bishul achar bishul, you're not going to be in violation of bishul. What about bibasar b'chalav? Meaning if you already cooked basar b'chalav together, is there an iser to re-cook it? Do we assume that's an iser of bishul basar b'chalav? So the Eliyahu Rabbah writes, there was a shayla in the Shar Ephraim, in the Tshuva Shar Ephraim, Siman Lamed Ches, where they cooked butter in a kedera of basar bas yoma, a flesh of kedera that was used within the last 24 hours. So the shaila was, can you use it for Ner Chanukah? Meaning they used that fatty butter and they made a candle out of it. So do you say, well, it was already cooked in the flesh of kapat, so it already was had been subject to the violation of Bishul Bas Bichol, so when you light Ner Chanukah with it, even though that's going to be re-cooking that butter, which now has tam of basar in it, maybe that's no longer basar b'chalav, because it's you're not allowed to get hana'a from basar b'chalav, but lighting their chanukah is a mitzvah. Mitzvah's lovely hanus nitnu. Maybe it would not be a problem. So the El Yerabba says, anyway, it's also to be madlik the neiros chanukah because it's basar b'chalav. It's an iser bishul of basar b'chalav, and that's what that's what the El Yerabba paskins la halacha, and the Tshuva Shmos Yaakov agrees that even though it was already mavushal once, there is a further iser bishul basar b'chalav. However, in Rabbi Kiveger and his hagos the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Pei Zayin, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about the basic isurim of basar b'chalav, quotes a hagos iser v'heter, that a chaticha that is soaked in chalav, you're not allowed to cook, because until now it was only an iser kavush, which is midrabanan. Now you're violating an additional iser d'oraisa of bishul basar b'chalav. So even though the chaticha was soaked, and normally we say kavush kimavushul, that which is soaked in a liquid, it's as if it's cooked, but that's only midrabanan, it's as if it's cooked. So for you to now take that chaticha and actually cook it, that would be an iser d'oraisa. But it sounds from that iser v'heter, says Rabbi Kiveger, that chaticha was not just soaked in milk, but was actually cooked in milk, that it would not be an iser to then re-cook it, because ein bishul achar bishul, just like by Hilchos Shabbos, ein bishul achar bishul bebasar b'chalav, so too, ein bishul achar bishul, just like by Shabbos, ein bishul achar bishul, so too by basar b'chalav, ein bishul achar bishul. So that's a major machlokas in the Achronim. This came up l'mais in the Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov near Yerdesim Tezvav. Apparently in Switzerland there was they made some sort of law that 16 and 17 year olds after they finished high school or whatever, they had to go to a certain like a finishing school that taught them I don't know, like how to run a household. I don't know, back in this is, you know, in the middle part of the 20th century. So they had to learn. They had to take a class in baking and in cooking, and they had to use whatever ingredients they had. So they were cooking over there, and all the tafshil and everything they were cooking, especially during the war years, were with a certain type of shomen, which was made of a taroves of shomen nevela and shomen chazir together with butter that was cooked together. So there, I guess what they would grease the pans with or something like that, was mamash basar b'chalav midaraisa. So the shaila was, can they do that? Now obviously they're not allowed to eat from what they're cooking, but can they do the cooking? This is a major issue that comes up in culinary school, that a lot of times people are mechuyev to be mevashel basar b'chalav in culinary school, so you have to be very careful about that. So in the Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov, he's mechuyach from Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rambam that ain bishul achar bishul bebasu b'chalav. That just like b'shabbos ain bishul achar bishul, if it was ready b'bushul together, it's not going to be a further iser of bishul. There's also a discussion in poskim. We're not going to have time to get into it, but there's a discussion in poskim. What about mechikas Hashem? Do we say ein mochik achar mochik? Meaning, let's say you have a Shem Hashem and someone erases one letter of the Shem Hashem. So the result is accomplished. It's no longer the Shem Hashem. Is there still a further violation to erase another letter of Shem Hashem? Now that could be a different story, because it could be over there in that case that you assume that each of those letters have Kedusha, meaning that that once they have Kedusha, so that Kedusha doesn't go away. It's not only about the result, but that too is subject to machlokas. Okay, vayter in the Gemara now. So says the Gemara, not only is the machlokas about being mekes dam on a balmum subject to how to learn the psukim, but hacha b'krayi pligi, 4 lines into the page, there's also machlokas about what your responsibility is in guarding truma that is safek tameh, is also subject to machlokas in terms of how to read the psukim, how to learn the psukim. Tamar v'dom Shmuel v'chein Amr Shlach v'chein Amr Nachman Amr Baravua va'ani hinei nasati l'cha es mishmeres. And then how do you read that next word? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you a smishmeres. So the way it is pronounced is true mosai. But the way it is written without that vav between the mem and the tav is true masi. True mosai is plural. True masi is singular. So Rabbi Elazar Savar, true mosai, therefore bishtei true mos hakos medaber. It's talking about an obligation to be shomer over two separate types of truma. Achas truma tahora, v'achas truma. And that is whether it's truma tahora or whether it's truma taluya, whether it's truma that is safek tameh. Va'amrachmana avadashimor. And the Torah is telling us you have to be shomer, even truma taluya, a dindarais, a pasuk in the Torah, that it still requires shmira, even though it might already be tameh. Rabbi Yeshua, truma siksev. Rabbi Yeshua says, it's not talking about two trumos, it says truma si. That's how it's spelled. I don't care how it's pronounced. I'm looking at how it's spelled, and there's only a mitzvah of shimor on one type of truma, namely truma tahora. But truma tzluya, there's no din of shimur. So says the Gemara, wow, so what they're really arguing about is yeshem lemikra or yeshem lemesaris, that when there's a kri and a ksiv, what do you look at? Do you look at the kri or do you look at the ksiv in terms of how to darshan it? So says the Gemara, lemeimer Rabbi Eliezer Savar, yeshem lemikra. Does this mean to suggest that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is yeshem lemikra, I look at the kri, I look at how you're supposed to read it, and therefore I say b'shtei trumos or a mini, but I'll ask you a stira. Bibig doba kiven shepirish taliso alea shuvein rashi lemokra divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one that darshins lemikra in the pasuk of in a different pasuk, in the pasuk im rabbeinu adonai shalo yaada vehaftala amnachri lo yim shalemokra bivig doba. So Rabbi Akiva darshins the way that it's read is bivig doba, is that once you've already married her, once you've already done nisuin on the amma, so then you lose the ability to sell her. Right, that's kivin shapirish taliso. That's a lashon of a beged. That once you've married the ama ivria, so the father's no longer allowed to sell her. Even if the adon subsequently divorces her, the father loses the right to sell her once she had been married to that adon. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Amar, no, it's not about the adon having married her. It's once the father ever sold her in the first place. He only gets one shot. He sells his daughter as an ama ivria. He only got one shot to do that. I don't care whether the adon marries her or doesn't marry her, you're never going to be allowed to sell again. Why? Because kivan she bagad ba shuvei narashe lemochra. It's not about a beged, it's about a begida, a rebellion against her, since he betrayed her by selling her in the first place. So it's not about beged, it's bagad. That's why he's not allowed to sell her. But bottom line is, that's Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer apparently is darshaning the mesores, the way that it is written, and not the way that it is pronounced in that context. So how come over here Rabbi Elazar is the one that says Yeshem Lemikra? It seems in the case of Bibigdoba or Bibugdoba that Rabbi Elazar is the one that darshans the Mesores, that it's Bibugdoba because it's not spelled with a Yud. It's the way that it's Rabbi Elazar is the one that's darshaning the way that it's spelled. So it must be that our machlokas about whether you have to be shomer truma to Tuluya is not based on Yeshem Limit Yeshem Limsaris. It's a different machlokas. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Haru'ilach Shmar, Vishain Ruilach Lotishmar. The Rabbi Yeshua holds that you have a mitzvah shmira on only that which you're going to be able to eat. But that which is not roi for you, you're not going to be able to use it anyway, then you have no mitzvah shmira. And therefore, Truma Tuluya, you can't eat it because it might be tamei, so you have no mitzvah shmira. Rabbi Lazar Hanami Ru'uyahi, and Rabbi Lazar would say, I agree! But Truma Tuluya is also called Ru'uya. Why? Shema Yavo Eliyahu V'yitaharena. Do you know for sure you're never going to be able to eat it? Maybe Eliyahu Navi is going to come and he's going to tell you, oh, this Truma that you have a Safek, whether it's Tamei or whether it's Tahar, well, I have news for you, it's Tahar, and therefore it is considered to be Ru'uya Lach. So apparently everyone agrees that Lach comes to tell me that only truma that's ru'uya to you it has a chi of shmira. That which is not ru'uya to you does not have a chi of shmira. That's what the pasuk is coming to be memayit. It's just a question of what exactly fits into that category. Does truma tuliya, is truma tuliya considered something that is ru'uya lach or not? The Achronim raised the following kasha. The Rambam Shita, it's a famous Shita of Rambam, in the ninth parak of Hilchos, Tumas Meis, is that the idea that a Safek Tumah is L'chumra, the idea that a Safek D'Araisa L'chumra, itself is only a din midrabanan. Meaning by Safek Tumah, we say it depends on Rosh Hashiach or Rosh Hashiram, but the idea that we're going to go L'chumra on any Safek Isser is always going to be only a din itself midrabanan. So on a D'Araisa level, we'd be Makil on a Safek Isser. So if that's the case, say the Achronim, you have this Truma that's a Safek Tame. So on a Daraisa level, looking with your Daraisa glasses, this Truma is Tahar. It's totally Tahar. So if that's the case, it can't be that this is the situation that the Torah is telling me that since it's Eino Ru'uya Lach, that you have to be Shomer it. What do you mean? On a Daraisa level, it is Ru'uyali. It is Ra'i according to Shitas Rambam. If you hold like the Shitas on Rashba, that the din that Savit Daraisa L'chumra is itself a din Daraisa, so I understand. If you hold that it's a din Daraisa, so then on a Torah level, once there's a Suffolk, it's not Ru'uyali. But this whole drasha doesn't make sense. If you hold that Savik Daraisa L'chumra is only a din midrabanan, and on a Daraisa level, we would say Savik Daraisa L'kula. So that's a challenge that the Achronim deal with. Marit Al Ghazi has a few suggestions. One of his suggestions is based on Tosos and Maseches Psachim and Shitas HaRash, the Rash Mishans and Maseches Shumos, that the case in our Sugya is where there are two Chavios, and one of them is definitely Tamei. You just don't know which one is Tamei. Maybe the Rambam's whole idea that Savik Tum and Savik Yisrael L'chumra is only a din midrabanan is only in a case where you don't know whether there's tuma at all in the situation. But maybe even the Rambam would agree that when you know there's tuma, you just can't identify where the tuma is. Maybe even the Rambam would agree that that sort of suffix tuma would be l'chumra midoraisa, and therefore it would actually be ein ru'iyalach. Other suggestions are made by Achronim as well, but that's the suggestion of Marit Al Ghazi. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. It's one of the suggestions of Marit Al Ghazi. He has others as well. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, halach Rav Shem. Now, as far as a matter of halacha, we got a paskin. So we had this machlokas. Can you be makes dam of a bechor? And what happens if you are makes dam on a bechor? Are you ever allowed to use that bechor? So halacha Rabbi Shimon. So what was Rabbi Shimon's shita? He's the one that said in the Mishnah, yakiz afal pishos b'mum, that you're allowed to be makes the dam even though you're making a mum in the animal. What was the svara for Rabbi Shimon? So remember, we said it's because Rabbi Shimon holds, since you're not trying to make a mum, it's just happening memela. That's what we call a davar shena miskavein. And Rabbi Shimon the shita so and kol ha'torah kula that a davar shena miskavein is mutter. So since you're not attempting to make a mum, it's going to be mutter. So we pass like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon Miskavin is mutter. So Maskav Menachem Rabbi Yitzchak, hey Rabbi Shimon, wait. When you say the halachas like Rabbi Shimon, which Rabbi Shimon are you talking about? Elim is Rabbi Shimon to Masnisin. If you're talking about just Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to be make his dam because it's a Dover Shemon Miskavin, you're not trying to make a mum. Ad Hashalosh Mina Shmuel Dover Shemon Miskavin mutter. I need Shmuel over here in the fifth parak Maseches Bechoros to Paskin that Dover Shemon Miskavin is mutter. We know this from all over Shas that we pass on like Rabbi Shimon Dover Shemon Miskavin is mutter. Rabbi Shmuel taught us all. For Rabbi Chia Bar Ashi Amar Rav Halach Rabbi Yudah Rav Chan Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel Halach Rabbi Shimon. We already learned from Shmuel that Halach is like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Chia Bar Avin Masni Below Gavri. Rabbi Chia Bar Avin taught it directly without even an intermediary. That Rav Amar Halach Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel Amar Lach Rabbi Shimon, that Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Shimon. So why would he have to say again in the fifth paragraph of Masechus Bechoros that we paskin Dovah Shein Meskavim is Mutter? Ella Rabbi Shimon de Braisa. No, when Shmuel's telling me over here in Masechus Bechoros that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon, he's not talking about Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah that you're just allowed to be make his dam because it's a Dovah Shein Meskavim. No, Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa who says that you can even shecht on that mum because you never intended to be matil that mum in order to be matirit. You just didn't want the animal to die, and there's no knas, so you're even allowed to shecht, meaning you went and you were makis dam. You were not trying to be matil mum. But bottom line, there is a mum now. Can you shecht that bechor? Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa said, yes, you could do that. So that's more than just allowing the action because of Dovah Shein Meskavim. It's even allowing the consequences of that action, that you're allowed to shecht the animal. Rav Shisha brings Ravidi Masin Labahedya, that Om Rav Yidom Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Shimon the Braisa, that we pass in like Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa, that you're allowed to shecht such an animal. Okay, new Mishnah then. Now we're going to talk about what are the consequences for purposely making a mum in a bechor, meaning how do we punish a person for doing that? Hatzorim ozen bebechor hareze lo yishchot olam estiver Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says forever that bechor is going to be ushered to him. It doesn't matter what happens to that bechor in the future, even if it develops its own mum. I mean, you went and you clipped the ear off of the bechor in order to be matil mum. You're not allowed to use that bechor at all. You're not allowed to shecht it. You're not allowed to eat it. Even if subsequently it develops its own mum, which would have been matirid anyway, sorry, this bechor is off limits to you. That's the knas. The Chum marim nol b'mamacher yishchot olav. Now the Chum say what you have to do is if a guy clipped the ear off of the bechor, we pretend he never did that. We pretend that the ear is still there. Whatever he did, ba'avera, it didn't do anything. Okay, but now the animal is a regular bechor, and you have to see if it develops a mum, so then it's going to be mutter anyway when it develops another mum. But it's just that the mum that he put there we ignore. But any future mum, we're still going to pay attention to. That's the machlokas. So says Gemara, umi kanis Rabbi Eliezer li'olam. Wait a second. Is Rabbi Eliezer the one that holds that we make a knas on a person forever, even if the situation would have resolved itself in some other way, that the knas is still going to remain intact? That's what he's saying in our Mishnah. You clip the ear of the bechor, the knas is going to remain intact even after it develops another mum. So the situation should have resolved itself. Or a mini abasku stira misha haisala beheres. A person had a certain type of negatzaras, a beheres, viniktitza, and it got cut off. Tahar, and then he's tahar, meaning if he didn't cut it off on purpose, it just he walked by a fence and scraped his arm, and it scraped the beheres right off, he's tahar. Katsa miskavein, or bimiskavein, they change it to on the side, if he purposely cuts it off, Rabbi Eliezer Omer l'kshivoli lo nega acher yitar emenu. Rabbi Eliezer says, he's, even though he did the wrong thing by purposely cutting it off, as soon as he develops another nega and he becomes tar, he doesn't have to worry about this first nega anymore. Meaning, the first nega is not there, right? It's gone, it's cut off. So Rabbi Eliezer says, we pretend he never, we don't punish him forever. And as soon as another situation develops that then gets resolved, he is then going to be tar. Another nega develops, it then gets resolved. He will then be tar. The Chamor and the Chamor say, no, we're going to punish him forever. Ad shetifrach bekulo, o ad shetemait baharto mikugris. There are only two ways that he's going to be tar. Either his entire body is covered in negayim at some future date, and that resolves itself, where that clearly shows us that even if the original nega was there, it would have just continued to exist together with the rest of the nega that developed, and then would have been resolved with everything else. Or until it's less than a gris, meaning if prior to cutting it off it had already shrunk to less than a gris, that would be a way that he started. But otherwise, he's punished forever. He's going to remain tamei forever, even if he develops other negayim on his body and those negayim are healed because of this nega that he cut off. The Chum say he's going to be tamei forever. So says Gemara, this is a stira in the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara will later point out that it's also a stira in the sheet of the Chachamim. But right now we're focused on Rabbi Eliezer, that when it came to being matil mum in a bechor, so Rabbi Eliezer was the one that said lo yishchot olamis, we punish him forever. Yet when it comes to a guy who cuts off a nega tzaras, we're not punishing him forever. We're just waiting till another nega situation develops and then gets resolved, and then he's going to be okay. So Rabbi Yosef Darmi Tavayu,
Ki kanis Rabbi Eliezer b'mamono begufo lo kanis. When did Rabbi Eliezer make this knas that he's punished forever? That's only when it came to a bechor, which is his mamon. But when it comes to his body with the nega, he's not going to have a knas. Why? Mamono ika lememar dasi lemevid. Gufo mi ika lememar dasi lemevid. There's a fundamental chilik between the case of the Bechor and the case of the Nega. Because the guy, if we were to not make a knas forever on the guy, so what's the guy going to do? I'll clip the ear off my animal. Manavshach, I'll be okay. Meaning, worst comes to worst, the Chachamim are going to tell me, not good enough. The fact that the animal's missing an ear is not a real mum, you're not allowed to sheft it. So anyway, I wasn't allowed to sheft it before I clipped the ear off the animal. So it didn't hurt me to clip the ear off the animal. So I'll wait till it develops another mum and then I'll eat it. If we don't make a knas, he lost nothing by clipping that ear off of the animal. And that's why Rabbi Elazar is insistent that we have to make a knas. As opposed to, when it comes to the nega tzara'as, the guy, if he cuts off this nega, this one thing is for sure, this nega will never get healed because he's cut it off. So you'll never go through the tara process. So while he had the nega, he had a hope of becoming tar by that nega becoming healed. By cutting it off, that nega will never be healed. So what are we going to tell him? Your only chance at tara is if you develop another nega and that gets healed. And maybe he'll never develop another nega. It's very risky for him to cut off a nega. So it's enough of a punishment for us to tell him that when you develop another nega and it gets healed, that's when you'll be tahor. Because it still wouldn't motivate a person to cut off the nega initially. It's still very risky for him. So that's how we resolve the stira in Rabbi Eliezer. Says Gemara, great job. You resolved the stira in Rabbi Eliezer. But Amar Rava, Rabbi Eliezer kasha, Rabbanan lo kasha. Was it not also a stira in the sheet of the Rabbanan? When it came to being matil mum in the Bechor, the Chum said, as soon as another mum develops, it's okay. You'll be able to use that Bechor, to shef that Bechor. And yet when it came to the Negat Saras, the Rabbanan are the ones that are make a Knas Olamis, that he's always going to have a Knas until Tifrach Bekulo, he's going to be Tameh. So says Gemara, Rabbi Lazar's, the stira in Rabbi Lazar we already resolved. Rabbanan na mi lo kasha, but there's also no stira in the Rabbanan. Hacha b'may da'avid kansua, hacha b'may da'avid kansua. The Rabbanan are 100% consistent. What the Rabbanan say is, we pretend that you didn't do what you just did. Meaning, when you did something incorrect, whether it be matal mum b'bechor, or whether it be cutting off the nega, we pretend that you never did it. So if you had never cut off the nega, it would still be there, it would still be tameh. And therefore, you're tameh for the rest of your life, because it would still be there, you'd still be tameh. If you had never clipped the animal's ear, so okay, it wouldn't be a bal mum until it develops another mum, and develops another mum somewhere else on its body, then that would make it a bal mum. So we just pretend that you never did what you did. That's the entire nature of the knas. How did you want to be matched to this bechor through this mum? Bahaimuma, kansur rabbanan to bahaimuma. Lo l'shtari le. So the rabbanan made a kenas that mum is not going to be matched it. And over here you try to cut off the nega tzaras, and that's how you wanted to be matar yourself. Well, guess what? By ketzitza, kansur rabbanan, you will never be tahar from this nega that you cut off, because this nega is always considered to be there. So period, that's how we resolve the stira. Now the Gemara raises a shayla. We had said within the shita of Rabbi Eliezer that if you purposely cut off the nega tzaras, when you have another nega, yitar hemenu, you will then be tar from the first nega. At what stage will you be tar from the first nega? By Rav Papa, yitar tanan o vi yitar tanan. Is Rabbi Eliezer saying as soon as another nega develops, the first nega is no longer tameh, or is it as soon as another nega develops and is cured, is handled, is taken care of, then the first nega is no longer tameh? Well, why would that make any difference? Because either way, if he's still tameh on account of the second nega, why do I care whether the first nega is still tameh or not? Meaning, bottom line is, he's a mitzvah, right? So why should it matter whether the first nega is a non-issue from the moment the second nega develops or from the moment the second nega is resolved? Either way, he's still a mitzvah from the second nega. Says Mar, there is an afkamina. L'chasen shnir bo nega. What if the second nega develops while he's still in Shavu Brachos? Rabban, Chasun Shener Bonega, Nosan Zayin Yomim, Lowitz Talisa Luxuso. We give him a steady on the Nega if he's a Chasun. We let him celebrate Shev Brachos, and then he becomes Tamei afterwards. So the second Nega is developed. So if the first Nega is Tahar, as soon as the second Nega develops, well, it developed. First Nega is Tahar. Second Nega doesn't make him Tamei yet because we give him till the end of Shev Brachos, he'd be Tahar. But if you say that no, the first Nega is only Tahar once the second Nega is resolved, well, the second Nega is not yet resolved, and therefore you should still be Tamei from the first Nega. V'chein beregel, let's not call him a regel, or similarly on Yantiv, we've let him finish out Yantiv. Say, Iyamart Yitar Tanan, if you say that it says Yitar, Mikamaisa Tahar Le, Lubasraisa, Natrin Le Zayni Me Mishta. So then he's already Tahar from the first Nega because the second Nega developed, and he's not yet Tamei from the second Nega because we let him finish Shavar Brachos. Eli Iyamart Viyitar Tanan, Sof Kilometami Lubasraisa, Hamitami Vakai Mikamaisa. But if you say Viyitar, then he only becomes Tahar from the first Nega once the second Nega is resolved. Well, then he's still going to be Tameh from the first Nega throughout Shavar Brachos. So my, what's the din? Teku, the Gemara leaves that Shaila unresolved. So that's an interesting question. What's the tzad? What's the tzad that when a second Nega develops, when it develops, that the first Nega should be Tahar? Why? Meaning, I understand he went through a Tahara process anyway, so let that Tahara process work on the first Nega. Second Nega developing should make him Tahar from the first one? So in the Achronim, the Mishnah Achronim, the Mishnais, say that the assumption is that the Ikr Tumah that we're metame him is because of a Knas in the first place, right? Really, his Nega's gone, so he shouldn't be Tameh from the first Nega, because it's not there. It's only a Knas. And maybe once he has another Nega, we see min hashamayim kansuhu. There's already a knas min hashamayim. And if there's already a knas min hashamayim, there's no need for us to continually impose our knas, because the Kodesh Baruch already made another knas. So if Hashem already took care of it, we don't need to impose our knas. Rav Zilberstein Chashuk Yecheved has a case where he discusses a guy committed vehicular homicide. He was a bus driver. He wasn't being careful. You can imagine, an Israeli bus driver wasn't driving 100% so carefully, and he was looking at his phone or something, and he ran over a kid. And they say sentenced him to whatever, 5 years in jail. And 2 years into his jail sentence, his own kid got hit by a bus at the same same place where he hit the other kid. So the lawyer wanted a taina. I don't know if this is a true story, but this is how it was sent it up. That the lawyer wanted a taina that he should be let out of jail because he seemed min hashamayim kansuhu. That it's enough punishment, is so clearly mida kenegan mida. He already got punished. So Zilberstein said, "Is that a Torah Ashkafa?" So he says, "Yeah, you see from here, minashamayim kansuhu, that even though we're going to impose a certain kanas, but if you see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is already taken care of it, then we can lift our kanas." So that's what's going on in this Gemara. If you assume like that, Deya, but maybe that's the teku that we're not sure. Then he suggests that no, everyone agrees to that svara. The question is just, is that really what's going on over here? When a person cuts off the nega, is it only a din in a knas? Meaning, is the appearance of the nega a simin or a siba? That once it's gone, then there can't be tzaras because there's no nega. Or do you say no, that's just a simin that he was a mitzora, but he's still a mitzora even if the nega actually is gone? Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Let's say a guy does this terrible thing. He cuts off the ozen of a bechor, like he's not allowed to. So, but then the fellow dies. Can his son now say, okay, it's a bechor bal mum, I'm allowed to use it. I didn't do anything wrong, so I should be allowed to use it. So, im timtzalom ha-mokhar abdolov dikhadm umeis, kansu b'no achrav. Granted, we may have such a din that if you sell your eved to an oved chavim, so there's a knas that you have to buy him back even at an exorbitant price, because you're not allowed to sell your eved to an oved chavim. But what if you sell, a man sells his eved to an oved chavim, then the man dies? Does his son have to pay an exorbitant price to buy him back? So if you say yes, maybe that's only in that case that we're going to make a knas for the child, because to call yom of yom of mafkalev mitzvos, because practically that eved is a Jew or is chayv in mitzvos at least, and is now. Now not going to be able to do mitzvos because he's living with a guy. He's been sold to a guy. So you have to buy him back just to prevent that avla. But over here, there's no such continuous avla going on. Maybe we're not going to make a knas on the child. And imtim tzalomar kivin malakta b'moed umeis lo kansu b'no achrav. The halacha is if a person says, you know what, why should I do my melacha now? I'll wait till Chol HaMoed when I have time to do it. It's a davar avid anyway, so I'll be allowed to do it then. So we make a knas. Sorry, you can't get any benefit from that melacha. What about his children? If the man dies, can his children get benefit from that melacha? So if you're going to say that we don't make the knas on the children are okay, maybe that's only in that case, mishum delo avda li isura. Maybe that's only because the child did no iser whatsoever. But hacha mai, but meaning not only the father never even did an iser in that case, because he said he was going to do his malacha on Chol HaMoed, but then he died before he had a chance to do his malacha on Chol HaMoed, and the whole shaila is, can the kid do the malacha now? Can he do the malacha on Chol HaMoed? Because for him, it's mamash hadavar aveid. He wasn't planning, he wasn't pushing it off till Chol HaMoed. So that's in that case where the father never actually got to do the iser. So hacha mai, l'ditei kanser rabbanav ha'leisei, odim alamone kanser rabbanav ha'isei. So the Gemara has this shaila. What would we say in our case? Do we assume the kenas is on him and he's not here anymore? Or do we say the kenas is on this bechor and the bechor is here and therefore that kenas would extend to the child? So Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to the answer to that question tomorrow.